But not that kind of thing that says, oh, thank you, like to get rid of a person. It's really when you mean it, because gratitude is one of the greatest attitudes that we may have in life. So we, because of the time, we have to go straight to the message. A time for gratitude. I always call the GR attitude. G stands for godly, and the R redempting, and attitude. A godly redempting, or redeeming, I should say. A godly redeeming attitude is gratitude. Time. Time for a change of attitude. A lot of people should take a little time to check their attitude, because there's nothing grateful about the way they act. And so it is very important for us to understand that concept. Now, about time, it also says this: gratitude for time. How many times we take time for granted, right? How many of you here still celebrate birthdays? Because some people decide not to celebrate anymore. But why do we celebrate birthdays? It's just a way for us to be reminded how precious time is. So every time, next time that you celebrate your birthday, think about the gift of time that has God given to you. It is important. Gratitude for time. By the way, sometimes people don't realize that money and time is basically the same thing. I mentioned this before. Money is time that has been converted into currency. A person works for you for an hour, you give that hour back whatever value that whatever you set up. So when you have money, you should be grateful, because that represents time. It may not represent your time. Maybe all the time you took is just to cash the check. But it took time for somebody to earn what you just received. So whatever you receive, time, doesn't matter in a form of currency or any other form, be grateful. And the more you're grateful, the more you have. And time is good to have. Gratitude for time. What separates privilege from entitlement? And I think you lately we hear those words a lot. You know, privilege, it is my privilege, or entitlement, is gratitude. What separates privilege from entitlement, arrogance from humility, is gratitude. This was Brené Brown. Her first name is Cassandra, and she is a storyteller. She said this, very, very important: always pursue what is good. Always rejoice, always pray, always be pleased, or please others in that sense. If you have those four things in your mind, you will get the whole message that we have for you today. Always pursue what is good. And I tell people, if you look for what is good, it's because there's something good in you to ask you to pursue what is good. And when you continue always pursuing what is good, everything that is around you become good. Practice that, you see. When teach your children to look for always for what is good. But the good according to the Bible, not good like sometimes, oh, this is good, and sometimes not good, it's bad. So always pursue what is good. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things. In the sight of all men, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What is good good for? To eliminate every probability of evil, of pain and suffering in our lives, because that's what happens. Evil brings pain, suffering, separation, you know, fights. That's what evil does. So how do we replace it? Not with more evil. When evil come to you and attack you, is because they want to turn you the same way they are. When somebody tries to bring you down, that person is not up. A person who is trying to bring you down is because they are down, and then it bothers that you're up, so they try to drag you to their level. So do not go down only when you need to bow your knees to praise the God that you serve. Romans 12, 17, and you can read also 21. It says here, always pursue what is good. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Copy what is good. Multiply what is good. Be your task in this life to always multiply what represents what God is. He who does good is of God. But he who does evil has not seen God or does not belong to God. 3 John verse 11, New King James Version. Always pursue what is good, brothers and sisters. Ephesians 4 verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. It's very bad when I see somebody who calls themselves Christians, and when they open their mouth, when they are not in church, they open their mouth, and all a bunch of crocodiles and all those stuff coming out of their mouth. And sometimes the habit is so badly. I had once a church elder, a head elder, that from the pulpit, he said, oops, and said some bad, very bad word. And he didn't even realize. We all did, but he didn't. And so sometimes it becomes part of what you are. And so be careful. Make sure that your lips are there to praise God always, because God is everywhere. Romans 7:12, the law is good. Isn't it said that those people out there that are Christians, churches, pastors, they're supposed to teach the people, citizens, to abide by the law, right? To respect the law. And instead, they go to the pulpit and says, the law is done with. There is no more law. What do you think a pastor is saying to the people that are listening to the pastor when he says, there is no more law? The law was nailed to the cross. And people may say, so I can go to his house, take his car and drive away. Or even before the church is over, should look for his wallet and teach him a lesson. Because that's why they say there's no more law. When the churches, when those that God called to uphold the law and bring harmony to community, they are the ones who said there's no law. And sometimes when they become a victim of a crime, then they say, oh, the law. But you preach there's no law. Psalm 136 verse 1 says, the Lord is good. And that's why we should pursue good, because the Lord is good. Psalm 143 verse 10, it says, your spirit is good. John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. He's like he said, I'm the good pastor. I'm the only pastor. The task for us is being good. We are born to be good, and we should always pursue what is good. Always pursue what is good. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And next, it says, yearly feasts were appointed, at which all the men and women, of course, of the nation were to assemble before the Lord, bringing to him their offerings of gratitude and the first fruits of his bounties. I did a research on this, and there was at least three feasts. Two of them relate to harvest. And this was a commandment in the Bible, even before people start celebrating Halloween or harvest festivals. God commanded his people to celebrate the provision that God gives. When you show gratitude for what gives to you, God will give you even more, because it is gratitude is the most powerful prayer that you can have. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 311. Always rejoice. Yearly feast, we already read this, always rejoice. Yearly feast were appointed at which all men, it says like they bring to him offerings of gratitude. So we have this slide twice. Always rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. That is a commandment. By the way, in church, you are not allowed to have long faces. It doesn't matter how tired you are. Fake a smile. Put a smile on their face, your face, please, because angels are looking at you at this time. And when I say angels, I'm not talking about just your family member that is beside you there or a visitor. Put a smile. Always rejoice. By the way, the more happier you are, the more you express, you end up becoming. Just like my brother Manuel was saying in his story here, when you start doing things, it becomes part of what you are, right? You practice. Practice to be happy, and you be happy. Anybody here have heard of Pollyanna? My children have. I have my daughter here with my son in-law and our two grandchildren here with us. When my children were little, we put a Pollyanna movie and for them to watch it. So they are very familiar with Pollyanna. A best-selling 1913 novel by Eleanor Porter. And it became a classic. And then they decided to make a movie. And the movie talks about the glad game. She was the only daughter of a missionary. And even though the aunts were very rich, the missionaries were very dedicated to spiritual things. And so the parents died, and she went to live to her very rich auntie. And they went to this town that everybody lived very miserable. Everybody complained about everything else. And she started telling everybody, oh, be happy. And they said, little girl, be happy about anything. And you watch the movie. I don't recommend movies to anybody as a pastor, but this one is clean. You can watch. And it has a good value. It says, if you look into any circumstance, you can find a reason to be happy. If you look for good, you find good in anything if you have good inside of you. It is your duty as a citizen, as a part of this community, always to invest in the community with your joy. Be the big glad game. Again, it said, it describes someone who seems always to be able to find something to be glad about. Try it. You see, it's a very convincing method. No matter what circumstance you are it, there will be. One person even says, you know, every time I'm going to get a rose, why rose have to have thorns? You know, why rose have to wear thorns? And somebody says, I'm glad the thorns have rose. It's just an attitude. Have the right attitude. Always rejoice. Always, my brethren, count it all joy. When you fall into various trials, when things come to you, you know, count as this is an experience. I'm going to learn from this. And by the way, if you keep reading, this is from James chapter 1. James said this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. But I like that James, inspired by God, in verse 13 he says, but don't say that trials come from God. You can learn from them. God can help you to learn from them, but they don't come from God. It's very clear to this, okay? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Satan sends you trials to destroy you, to bring you down. But God used the same tools to turn into a positive experience. You can read Romans 8:28. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James 1, verse 2 through 4. Now, what do you see in this picture? Have you found yourself in that circumstance sometimes that you're causing your own fall, your own pain? What do you think is going to happen to this man if he continues with pursuing this with this text. Yes, watch your choices. Be careful, because sometimes we are so selfish, we are so consumed by acquiring things, by getting things, and we end up harming ourselves with the bad choices. Always rejoice. Our God is a tender, merciful Father. His service should not be looked upon as hard-setting, distressing exercise. It should be a pleasure to worship the Lord and to take part in His work. Sometimes when people say, oh, let's go to church. What's that? Oh, today's Sabbath. Believe me, be careful, because when you do this, I know for sure that your enemy is saying, oops, I have a door here. I can go in with everything. Today, I'm going to make the Sabbath miserable for this person because this person just invited me in. So be careful. Have a spirit of joy, because today is the Sabbath, is a day of joy. Always pray. Some people pray only when things are going bad. Let me tell you a secret. Pray before it gets bad, and it won't get bad as you think it can be. Sometimes don't wait until the car makes a little noises and everything else. You should take the mechanic and fix right away, but now you keep driving until, oops, why didn't I do this before? So when things start making strange noises, because you're already late on your prayers, pray before it gets there. Rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, and continue steadfastly in prayer. Romans 12:12. Very easy to memorize, right? Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continue always in prayer. Very good ways to deal with. Again, there is necessity for diligence and prayer. Let nothing hinder you. Those who are already seeking for communion with God will be seen where? Honestly, I thought about saying this. I know somebody's going to not feel comfortable with this, but it talks about prayer meeting. Yes, prayer meeting. It says faithful to do their duty and earnest and anxious to reap all the benefits that can be. Brothers and sisters, you can have a prayer meeting with us from your home in the seated on the best comfortable chair that you have there, or even in bed. All you have to do is dial in, join us, come to prayer meeting. Always pray. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 4, verse 2. Always pleased. Don't love money, and you're never going to be pleased if you love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said this, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. Don't be consumed by dinero, money. Hebrews 13, verse 5, New Living Translation. We are almost there, brothers and sisters. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I mentioned this before, and I know I'm going to say it again. I have been in a situation when I have not a penny for a long time. And believe me, it is very humbling. Very humbling when your stomach wants some food and you have nothing. It's very humbling when you don't have no money to pay a rent or to get a place to sleep. I slept for a long, long time in a foam that was this thick. And you know, when a person that my size laid down in a foam of this thick, it like there is no foam, it's just like a paper. I slept for months in a floor without no foam, just cold tile. Why I say this to you is because I was blessed with the opportunity to learn from that experience. You do not value money above the one who gives you what you have. Sometimes people are so consumed about their own personal needs. They want. We are in a society when everybody wants to buy everything so that they can put it in a garage and stay there for 30 years before they even look at a second time. I know how to live in almost nothing or everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. This is Philippians 4, verse 11 to 13. Brothers and sisters, highlight this in your Bible. That is the perfect definition of what being happy, what being Christian is all about. Learn to be content. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. I can do everything. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. Cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to you and to give thanks continuously. This is Ralph Waldo Emerson. He says, and because of all things have contributed to your advancement, you should include all things in your gratitude. Everything. Be grateful for everything, even the hard lessons. So don't worry about this thing saying, what should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? Let's go shopping. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Your Heavenly Father knows all your needs, and He will provide for it. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you what? No, it doesn't say like that. It says everything that I need. I wanted to make it personal. He will give everything that I need. So don't need to be worried. An attitude of gratitude. Be thankful, brothers and sisters. That is the secret of being happy. Be thankful. What do you see here in this picture? We put this picture together. Someone who wants to take care of you every day, every second, every minute of your existence. Somebody who is watching over you. Everything you do in this life, those hands are looking to protect you. This is Psalm 100. We will be reading when we go down. We're going to be reading this. The psalm is a short psalm, but I took this verse just to be part of our devotion here. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Think about this. When you go, some verse says, enter His temple. When you go to church, it says, enter the church to give thanks. Not to feel miserable. Not, oh, I don't have this. Oh, why there's not a light on? Oh, why is the air conditioner not on? Oh, it's so cold here. Oh, it's so hot in here. Oh, where's the bulletin? Oh, there's no bulletin. Oh, we come to church not to be miserable, but to be happy, to be grateful. So please have the right attitude when you enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Give thanks. You come to church to be grateful. You come to church because God wants you to be here. Now let's rejoice. Let's sing. Let's get together and sing. Stand up, please. And let's sing, rejoice, ye pure of heart.